Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast. And I tell you, we've had several podcasts starting off with the year. We were talking about heaven. And if you haven't heard the podcasts on heaven, you want to go back and you want to listen. And then we went into miracles. And, you know, right now, I believe that the month of April is the month of faith. And that's what we're going to focus on. We're just going to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of us. So let me open in a word of prayer, and let's go to the word of God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the spirit of faith. We thank you for the word of faith. And, Father, I just pray right now that you would open our ears. Father, we're listening. We're opening our ears and we're listening. Now, Lord, open our ears further so that the spirit of faith will come in. Father, we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in 2 Timothy, this is such a classic scripture. Everybody knows it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And it's Timothy. He is the pastor. He's going through some difficulties. And Paul, the seasoned veteran, the father in the faith, he writes him. Now, let's pick up here in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. And Paul writes, he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in you also. Therefore, I put you into remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you, by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So here's Paul. He's reaching out to this young minister. And, you know, Timothy, he's going through some things. Obviously, when you get a word like that, everything's not roses, doesn't. And but Paul has learned some things about the call of God, the power of God, and the Holy Spirit. And so Paul begins to start with, "I'm persuaded. I know something about you, Timothy, and it's about this faith that's on the inside of you. I know where you got it from. I knew your grandmother. She's not here anymore, but I knew her. And I knew your mother. And I know that the faith that they had that was so pure, that was so real, there wasn't any insincerity in it. It was a real faith." And he says, "I know it's on the inside of you. So I'm persuaded, Timothy. So now I'm persuading you. You need to start looking on the inside of you and realizing what you have. And I want to remind you of the gift that's on the inside of you. I want you to fan into flame this wonderful gift that's in you and get the fire of God saturating that gift again, because God didn't give you a spirit of fear." And I believe that as we get into this, I'm just... that fear, its hold over your spirit, over your mind, that its power, it's just going to be broken. It's going to dissolve. I believe that fear is going to dissolve as we do these podcasts, as we focus on the faith of God. And we don't know how long it's going to take to go through this series, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to be different by the time we get to the end. It's going to be amazing. Now, So he says, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, Timothy, but of power, miracle-working power. It's on the inside of you. The love of God, it is right there with you. You know, sometimes when we're afraid, we forget that God's love has been shed abroad all over us, saturating us, in that he's called us his children. 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 1, "What amazing love that's been bestowed upon us, in that the Father has called us his children." And that is who we are. We're the sons of God. So not only are we the sons of God, it comes with his love. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that you didn't receive fear. He said you've received, in verse 14, 15, 16, you've received a spirit of sonship by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So here we have Paul to Timothy. Timothy, it's going to be all right. I want you to focus on your gift, and I want you to stir up the gift of God that's in you and begin to boldly use the gift. And I believe that he took that advice and he changed the world. And in fact, we have two books of the Bible called Timothy. So I think he was a success story. But, you know, we all go through things, and we need someone like Paul to say, hey, I need to talk to you about who you are and to remind us who we are. Now, I want as our keynote scripture, which we'll probably have several, 2 Corinthians. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I tell you, it's going to take several of these podcasts to go through this, but I believe we're going to come out different. We're going to come out strong. We're going to come out in a spirit of faith, stronger than we were when we entered into this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, it's Paul again, we having the same spirit of faith, according to as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So here's Paul. He was just earlier talking to Timothy. Hey, Timothy, I want you to stir up the gift of God that's in you. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. And now to the Corinthians, Paul, once again, he's coming at it. He's coming at it a little bit differently, different language. But he says the same thing. We having the same spirit of faith. There is a spirit of faith. And so I just believe that it's time that we start focusing on stirring up the spirit of faith on the inside of us. You know, as I'm sitting here doing this podcast, just kind of just meditating and listening as I'm speaking, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 3, that by faith we understand that the worlds were created or framed by the word of God. And so God, when there was nothing, he began to speak forth his word, and his word brought from nothing into everything that we see. Hebrews chapter 1, it says he upholds all things by the word of his power, by whom he created all things, all the worlds that we know. So when you go outside at night and you look up at the stars, how did those get there? The word of God. And so in order to go into this, we're going to have to take time and meditate on the word of God. So let's look at this. Hebrews 11, verse 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I'll tell you what, that we call that the definition of faith. Faith is the substance. So faith is a substance that's in operation in us. It's a substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things that are not seen. So in the realm where there's nothing that's visible, faith is the evidence. Now that's powerful, because when you apply that to God, God looked at nothing and he began to fill space with stars and with planets. I mean, the size of the stars, the size of the planets, not only the literal creation of it, but then he put it all into motion. You know, outer space functions better than a nice Swiss watch, you know. We would wish that our watches could function as great as outer space does in time. I mean, you think about our own world that we live in. We go around the sun 365 days, roughly, and so we know what our year is. But then going around the earth, we have a moon, and the moon determines our days and our calendar months. And so all of this movement is so precise. How did he do it? Well, by faith and his word being spoken out. Now, I want you to take a look at Psalms 33. I'm just thinking, this is such a wonderful psalm. Psalms 33 and verse 6. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Now, the heavens were made by his word. But it doesn't just say his word, does it? It talks about his breath. And I believe that the breath is not only the Holy Spirit. I believe the breath is faith, the faith of God, the spirit of faith. So we could almost say it like this. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And by the spirit of faith, which is the breath of the Lord, all the hosts were created that's in them. Now, that's the Eric translation. It's a good translation. And so, you know, I don't know if you've ever, you know, when you get up in the morning and maybe a brother, sister, or your wife or your husband, and you greet them and they're just a little too close to you. They say hello, but they're so close to you, you can smell their breath, right? And you're like, ooh. And so you didn't just hear the words that they spoke. You were smelling the words that they spoke. Well, I believe it's that way with God, because when God speaks, it's not just his word, but it's the breath of his mouth. It's the breath of God that came into Adam, and he became a living human being, a man made in the image of God. Well, it was his breath. And so the word of God and the breath of God, the spirit of faith, upon the word of God. So that's what we want to focus on here. Now, Romans 10, verse 17. Now, this is powerful. Romans 10, verse 17. And the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how does faith come? I mean, we know that faith is a substance. Faith is an evidence. Faith is a substance that goes into the nothingness and it brings forth what the Word of God declares it to bring forth, right? So how do we begin to get this faith in us? And, well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's important that we spend time, taking time, listening to the word of God. Now, let's look at the book of Proverbs. This is just, you know, coming, and I think this is important. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And the Bible says in verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Now, we talked about it. Faith is a substance. Faith is an evidence. And it comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Why? So that the spirit of faith can come. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them, and their health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So in this passage, we see the importance of the heart of man. That it's out of the heart that the life flows, the life of a man. You know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, meaning your body doesn't live on itself and on its own. No, it's the heart of man. It's the spirit of man is the epicenter of life. And it's when a man receives Christ by faith that he becomes born again. He comes alive. And so therefore the word of God, we're commanded to guard our hearts. How do we do it? With the word of God. So he begins, my son, attend, pay attention. That's all that means. Pay attention. And you know, when I think about that, I think about the disciples. Every day they were following Jesus. Jesus would get up and he'd begin to walk, and guess what? They would follow him. What were they doing? They were attending to the word of God. They were focused on him. He was their life. And, you know, it's the same for us now. Jesus can be our life. And he knows whether we are or whether we're not. But that's the encouragement. Jesus has to become our life. And so we have to attend to the word of God. And then the Bible says, incline your ears to my sayings. Well, the word incline, I kind of like humble, to lower what you hear compared to the word of God. That the word of God should be the priority. It should have the elevated say in our lives. Why? Because of a spirit of faith. And remember, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the spirit of faith, the word of God, and the breath of God. All together, the spirit of faith upon the word of God. And so when he goes into this, my son, attend to my words, humble your ears to my sayings. Then he says, let them not depart from your eyes. Your eyes are so important to God, what you look at, because your eye gate, your ear gate, your meditation gate, these are the areas where God's word either flows into us or it gets blocked, okay? And so let them not depart from your eyes. So our eyes need to be continually upon the word of God. Why? So that a spirit of faith is working in us. Amen? And then keep them in the midst of your heart. So guard them, not kind of on the outside of your heart, but make sure God's words are in the middle of your heart. And this is how we can abide in the same spirit of faith. We have that spirit of faith. We need to abide in that spirit of faith. And so keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So you have your thought gate, your ear gate, your eye gate, and your heart. And these are the areas that we have to guard in order to preserve the spirit of faith upon our lives. Once again, remember, we started with Timothy. Hey, Timothy, I know you're going through a lot, but I want you to remember your grandmother, the faith that she had, your mother, the faith that she had, and you're the third generation, and that faith is working on the inside of you. You know, when I think about this, I'm not the first generation Christian in my family. I had grandparents on both sides that were Christians. They loved the Lord. My father's parents were Christians, and my mother's parents were Christians as well. Now, I never really knew my father's mom and dad, but I did know my grandparents from my mother's side. And so they were wonderful, I mean, amazing Christians. They were born again back in the 1940s. When America was heading towards World War I, hadn't quite happened yet, but they were in a revival in the mountains, and someone invited my grandmother to go to the revival. So she went, and on the first night, the preacher was full of power and faith, and she went down to the altar and gave her life to Christ that night. And she went home, and there's my grandfather, and he didn't want anything to do with it. He wasn't a Christian. He didn't want church. He didn't want religion. And she said, oh, you need to come. You need to come. Well, I'm not going to come. And so, but every day she would iron his clothes like a good wife. and pray over them. She maybe didn't know how to pray so well, but that yearning heart, oh God, I want my husband to come to the revival. And it was into the second week, towards the end, after all the praying, you know, the prayer, the handkerchief, so to speak. My grandmother, she ironed everything. She ironed the pants. She ironed the shirts. She ironed his underwear and his socks, you know. And so my grandfather was just bathed in prayer as he went to work and would come home. And it was into the second week that he came home under such conviction of God that he fell into her lap and said, I need God. And so he went to the revival meeting that night, and he didn't make a decision. But the next night he went back, and he went down the walkway to the altar and gave his life to Christ, and he never looked back. He went forward, both of them together, in this new walk of faith, as the United States was entering into World War II, this little family, they were pioneers in the realm of Christianity for their family, which would ultimately affect their children and ultimately affect me. And so I always think about my grandmother. She was such a woman of prayer. She just, you know, she told me, I said to her, Grandma, how'd you learn to pray? And she said, well, after the revival where we gave our lives to Christ, the pastor, after the evangelist left, the pastor said, well, let's meet on Monday nights and let's pray. And she said, "When I remember the first time I went to a prayer meeting, and when we all began to pray, it was like this presence of God came in and just picked us up, and we were soaring through the heavens as we prayed to God. It was like we were lifted up and we were carried." And so that was how she was birthed into prayer. First praying for my grandfather, praying over his clothes while she ironed them. And then after the revival, once they're both born again, they began to attend prayer meetings. Now, prayer meetings are crucial in churches, prayer meetings led by the pastor, and because there's so much that God does when the pastor of the church is leading a prayer meeting, and so we need to get back to that in the churches, not just once every, you know, 6 months, but every week. These kind of prayer meetings need to happen every week because people need help in prayer. People get heavy. People get loaded with sins. People need a prayer meeting where other people can come who maybe know how to pray a little bit better, seemingly, just to encourage and to impart prayer. And so prayer is so crucial to Christianity, to the body of Christ. And there really needs to be a revival in the United States of churches turning back to prayer. And so my grandparents, they began to just seek God and go after God. And then my mother was born. And my mother was born into, you know, this wonderful move of God that they were in. And I remember stories that my mom would talk about is when she was very young, that she would lay in her bed at night and just think about God, and the energy of God would just come so strong, the presence of God, and she would just yearn for God, and then she would begin to speak in other languages. She had no idea. She just thought it was baby language. She called it my baby language, that I spoke to God, and she didn't understand that she was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and her little spirit was so yearning for God that Jesus just came in and baptized her in the Holy Ghost. It wasn't till later, probably like 30 years later, during the charismatic renewal that was sweeping across the United States, that she realized that she had received the gift of tongues, prayer tongues. And so, well, listen, let me just stop there right now. I want to encourage you, go into your Bible, begin to study faith. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, and the same spirit of faith. Listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.